Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining us live tonight right here around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185. Glad to have you aboard. Got a great message. Call a friend and a neighbor and tell them the shepherd called. Pastor Buddy is on the air tonight. Got Brother Bob sitting in with us right here in New Tazewell tonight, recording the message for you. And we love you very much. You can go to our website at any time at your choosing, oneyahweh.com. And you can get the messages. Even the message tonight will be up sometime between here tonight and tomorrow. Doesn't take very long for Brother Bob to get everything posted for you. And it's for your listening benefit if you'd like to go back and review this message, beginning a brand new series tonight, The Scent. The Scent. Now, the Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? The title tonight, Sent. Get in your Bibles. We're going to Luke 15, verses 3 through 7. We're going to start the program for you. Get your pen and paper. Write these scriptures down, which is the title, Sent. Now, obviously, ladies and gentlemen, everything that preaches ain't sent. Now, how would you recognize someone that is sent, that would be a sent preacher from Yahweh, or how would you recognize a sent preacher from Satan? Did you know Satan sends preachers? According to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Satan's ministers have transformed themselves into angels of light. So then, would you think maybe that some of the Christians that think that they're saved, that profess Christ, have actually accepted the wrong Christ? But because there's many Christ, there's the real Messiah, and then there's the false Messiah. And Satan is directing his sent ministers to preach, number one, that which seems right. Number two, that which tickles the ear. Number three, the world's wisdom. Number four, that which would appeal to the ears and the eyes of the beholder. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's for sure that the Messiah himself, although he was sent, and although he accepted and chose sent, well, the Bible says many of those are chose, but few are sent. That's the problem. Many called, but a few are sent. Now, I'm talking about ministers now that is going to preach you. Now, a preacher of Yahweh, a minister of truth, will not preach you what you want to hear. It'll always go against your grain of your carnal mind, because the carnal mind is enmity. And in Galatians 4 and 4, the friendship of the world is enmity against Yahweh. So in 15:3, he expressed a parable. Which of you men, if you had 100 sheep and lost one of them, wouldn't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that was lost until he found it? When he was found, he carries it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. I tell you that even so, there will be more joy in heaven over one sheep, a sinner here, described as a sinner, a sheep who repents, than over 99 righteous sheep who need no repentance. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if Luke chapter 15 is talking about a lost sheep squadron. Now, look, where are the lost sheep at? Where did they go to? How did they get lost? Do you know the history of it? Does the sent ministers reveal to you exactly what's wrong in the world and who's missing and who's missing the message or who's missing the mark? Do they really tell you who the lost sheep are? Well, that's what we're here for. As sent ministers of Yahweh with the sword, I'm telling you how to find the sheep, how to identify them, how to place the name of Yahweh upon them. You see, Yahweh said, I will call my sheep by name. My sheep know my voice. My sheep hear me. But Luke 15 contains three parables with a common theme. Number one, the lost sheep. Number two, the lost coin. And number three, the lost son. But if you really want to know the difference between the three, there is no difference. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son are all portraying one people by one family, by one faith, by one baptism. Are we all called in with one calling to the truth? You see, one of the things about the denomination system, the bell box, is that they want you to believe that they are the way, when the scriptures teach that Yahweh is the way. Now, there's a way or a name that they preach that seems right. Oh, it's in the Bible. They even put it in the Bible. Just because you read something in the Bible don't mean it's true. Now, why? Because it's unfortunate that most people have so mistaken so many times the ideal about their religion, due largely to the many mistranslations of words in the commonly used King James Bible. One of these mistaken ideals is what we're going to focus on, and we'd like to do either a two or three part series on sent, is the ideal that most of the people in the United States and Western Europe, in fact, nearly all Christians in the world now, nearly all of them, use or believe that they are Gentiles. Now, we'll repeat that. Most of the Western European and the American, United States of American, Christians have been told by these sent ministers that they are Gentiles. Now, is that true? Well, we're going to examine that. Well, you know, you hear many of them, the clergy, who should know better. And this is why, Pastor Buddy, a sent preacher that never preaches anything that agrees hardly with these sent opposites. Because, you see, daylight or darkness and light has no fellowship. We have no communion. We can't agree on nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's sad that I'm always out of agreement with that which seems right in the world or that which is set up in tradition. Take the name of Jesus, for instance. It's not even 500 years old and wasn't even in the original King James Bible, and yet they put it in the revised translation and the spelling of it, and everybody says, well, that says Jesus. Well, it does. In the revised or the changed or the altered or the mistranslated versions. But you cannot teach these old dogs the new tricks of revelations that translators have misled them by putting in words that are not there. Now, you'd be surprised to know, I hope that you're going to be surprised, you know, and I really believe that you are, unless you're an advanced student of the Scripture. You're going to be surprised to know that there is no such word in the Bible in its original language such as Gentile. Now let me repeat that. There is no such word in the Bible. The original now, not the revised. In the original languages that would verify in the King James that you find the word Gentile translated now as Gentile, it's not even in the original scripture. So why did they put it in there? Well, they put it in there for two or three reasons. Number one is that they want you to believe that there's two classes of people in the world, Jew and Gentile. That's false. Now, let me repeat that so that you get my message here very straight from a sent preacher, not a missent or a misguided or a misinformed. Study to show yourself approved. Boldness comes with a sent Yahweh preacher. Tradition comes with those who seem right and are not sent by Yahweh, but are sent by Satan himself, or in the facsimile thereof of someone that seems right. Oh yeah, they mean good. Oh, they wouldn't steal, they wouldn't kill, they wouldn't lie, they wouldn't cheat, or at least that's what they say. And yet they cheat every day in the scriptures. They cut corners, they mislead, misguide, and even when you tell them about it or show it to them, they're not honest. They're dishonest, and it brings the wool off to expose the wolf in sheep's clothing. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go only and seek the lost coin. Now remember the coin parable? Now just illustrated the lost sheep parable. Let's go to the lost coin parable. A man found a certain treasure in a field. What did he do? Well, the Bible said he went and bought the field. Before he revealed the treasure, he bought the field. Well, we know that the field is the world, and Yahweh is the good seed sower, and the field is the world, and while the good seed was sowed into the field, or the good coins placed in the bag, Satan came and sowed the tares, or put a fool's gold in the bag to deceive people to purchase or to use the wrong coin or the wrong expression or the wrong word. That's what it means by the word Gentile. It's not even in the original scriptures and the original languages, Hebrew, Latin, or Greek. The word Gentile doesn't exist. It is an English derivative. Very misleading. Well, if there's no such word in the Bible in its original language, and I know that many of you now are trying to find the page in your King James Bible where you'll find in many places the word Gentile, but I said there's no such word in the Bible in its original languages. The word was put in by the translators who changed the wording of the Bible centuries after the last book in the Bible was written. If you're a good student of the Bible, you will surely agree with me right here that the prophets originally wrote in the books of the Bible that makes up our Bible was inspired by God. The Bible said that they were inspired to write what was written. Well, why come the translators changed the original languages and the words? Well, we're going to find out. Now, if it was inspired by Yahweh, it was correct, for the prophets wrote it correct, but not one of them wrote in English. Now, remember that. Not one of the prophets wrote in English. Remember, there is no such word in the English language. It's a made-up language. There is no such word in the original languages, but they put this word in, Gentile. Well, let's find out what the prophets originally wrote in the Bible. If you agree that no such word is in the English language, and it existed many centuries after the prophets lived, it was written in Hebrew as in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament was originally written in the language which the Messiah spoke, Aramaic. A Semitic dialect somewhat similar to, but not the same as the original root Paleo-Hebrew, called Square Script. But Aramaic was not generally understood outside of Western Asia. So when Christianity began to spread into southern and eastern or southeastern Europe, the New Testament had to be translated into a language which was widely used in that day. Now, what did they put in it? Well, it had to be translated into a language which was used, which Greek at that time served this purpose nicely, for it was understood by well-educated men nearly all over Europe. Therefore, the New Testament was first translated into Greek. Protestant English language translations of the Bible today are nearly all translated from Hebrew manuscripts of the Old Testament and Greek manuscripts of the New Testament. So, now, let's start with the word in the Old Testament. The word Gentile is not even once used in any Hebrew manuscript of the Old Testament. Now, remember that. It's very important for me to teach you these things, because I'm going to make a point that many people believe that they're a Gentile when they could actually, and they've been convinced by these sent men who are not sent by the Holy Ghost, who are not sent and authorized. How can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? Yahweh's ministers will give you the scriptures just like it was written in the original languages, and they will not cut corners, and they will not compromise, although it's more popular to preach the given language of the day and use the translations that have been altered and changed, because that's been common and commonly accepted among most of the so-called professing Christians of today. And my people, Hosea 4:6, again, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I want you to listen to me tonight. The word Gentile used in the Old Testament is a mistranslation of the Hebrew word goy, G-O-Y, which means nation, not nations. Now, are you with me? But you see, the plural form of this word is goyim. And he didn't say going to the goyim, or going to the many nations, Africa, the Sudan, or Asia, or China, or Bangladesh, or Timbuktu. He didn't say that. He didn't mean that. But the translators have translated the plural form into Gentiles. Plural, meaning many nations. But the original word was nation. 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 Goyim. Now, let's go on. Since it means nation, why didn't they translate it correctly? Sometimes they did, but for the most part, they translated it to fit the official doctrine of the church of that day. And you know, I preached about that church in Revelation chapter 17. Actually, ladies and gentlemen, that church had a lot to gain by incorporating all races, creeds, and colors into its membership fold. And that's exactly what it done by changing this one word, goy, into goyim, to include or incorporate that all races of the earth could be saved, and that was not the original intention of the translators, or the translators that got misquoted by the translators, or the sent ones was misquoted by the unsent ones, or the wrong sent ones, I'll put it that way. They're sent, but they're not sent by the Holy Ghost. They're not sent by the Holy Ruach. They're not sent by the Holy Spirit. They're sent to kill, spiritually speaking. They're sent to destroy. And they are sent to steal away those treasures of the lost sheep, take the knowledge away, to keep you from knowing who you really are. My sheep hear my voice. If they hear the true prophet or the voice of the shepherd, which is the true sent ones today, at that time it was the shepherd himself that came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, let me give you a scripture at this point and interject it into your teaching, listening ear tonight, as we go to the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew concerning this word Gentile. Now, here's how it's translated in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. Now, remember, we said this is not the original translation. It's been changed and altered. Notice, fourth verse, Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who had also betrayed him. These 12, he names all the 12 from verse 2 down to verse 4, concluding with even the Canaanite. And these 12, the Messiah, Yahweh, in a flesh body, sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Now that's a plural, Goyim. Go not to the Goyim would have been the proper word in the Aramaic language that the Messiah spoke. Go not to the other nations. But now, to prove that the Gentiles are not the lost sheep, all you got to do is to read the sixth verse. Now, he also said, go not to the Goyim, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, question, if they were not to go to the Goyim or the lost sheep or the Gentiles, which are today in the scattered countries, that's where they were. We're going to prove that just in a moment. But they were commanded not to go to the Gentiles or the Goyim. It's translated Gentiles here in the plural. Go not to the Goyim, or the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep. So it's telling you that the lost sheep are not Gentiles or Goyim. Are you listening to me? Are you getting this impact of the sent message as opposed to the message that has been given to you in the traditional churches by those who are not sent by Yahweh, but are sent by Satan to deceive the very elect? Are you with me? Now, again, verse 5, go ye not to the Gentiles or the Goyim. Plural. Do not go to these other nations. Do not go to Africa. Do not go to China. Do not go to all these places that I am going to send you, but don't go to them. Go only to, verse 6, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now remember I gave you the parable of the one that left the 99 safe and went after those who were lost? And who were they were lost? That's the lost sheep. And remember the rejoicing of the one who was sent that is going to do the sending now to the prophets and the teachers that will preach and teach only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, only authorized to preach, not to the Gentiles. You see, that sort of does away with the ideal that there's two classes of people in the earth, Jew and Gentile. You see, that's a lie from the devil. The devil is the master of deception to kill, to steal, and to destroy all of the truth that surrounds this powerful verse of Scripture in Matthew 10, 5, and 6, that 99% of those who profess to be pastors and shepherds are the blind shepherds and the blind pastors who cause his people to go astray, to forget his name, and would deceive, if possible, the very elect from such turn away. But rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep of the house. Now, the house means a family. So then there's a family of sheep, and there's a family of goats, and there's a family of swine, and then there's a family of mixtures between all of those others, for there's four different kinds. Just like it displays in the garden, there were four different genetic rivers to come out, or four different seeds in the earth sown. And only one of those was the good seed, and the good seed sower was the man that came to hunt and to find and to reclaim and to recover and to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Adam's race. Not races, not nations, Goyim, but race, singular. The lost sheep from a family chosen before the foundation of the world. Well, I feel the anointing tonight. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. I told Brother Bob we were having a discussion at the dinner table last evening. And Brother Bob was talking about something that really lit a fire under my spirit. And he kindled it. To the point that one word emerged from his conversation, and it was the word sent. S-E-N-T. A four-letter word. I am only sent. Now, we're going over to the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, and I would tell you that we're going over to the 23rd verse. But the Messiah answered this woman who cried unto him, "Have mercy upon me, son of David, for my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But listen, listen now. I'm going to show you that she was a beneficiary of his message, but he answered and said, "I am," the causative to verb to be haya eliasher hayaya, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel," which references you back to Matthew 10 and 5. Go not to the Gentile, but go to the lost sheep. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that is true, then the word Gentile is not even once used in any Hebrew manuscript. Not one time. The word Gentile is, but it's a common favorite word to classify two groups of people on the earth, Jew and Gentile. Now we say the Jews over there in Israel. That's the Jews. And everybody else that's not Jewish has to be Gentile, and God is going to save both of them, Jew and Gentile. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. There is a sheep that is lost, and they have lost their way among the Goyim, or among the Gentile nations. They've been scattered into... Now, who were they? Well, the repeated history of who they were when they were excommunicated, so to speak, out of the land of milk and honey that they despised, that they didn't appreciate. They wouldn't serve Yahweh, their creator. They went whoring after other gods in
changed Yahweh's laws into a lie. They worship the creatures and the gods and the idols of the other nations, and therefore Yahweh gave them up to a reprobated mind to believe a lie and be damned. Now, when they were finally scattered in 721 B.C. Now, I'm talking about the 10 northern tribes. This is the 10 lost tribes of the house of Israel. Now, who was the apostles? Peter, James, and John, the apostle Paul, and all of the other disciples who were commanded, to teach and to preach unto those who were scattered abroad. Who were they? Well, they were the Caucasian race of Jacob, the 10 northern tribes from the bloodline of Jacob himself. And they themselves were given the privilege of extending their self among the Goyim, or Gentiles, and they became lost among them, not because they were Gentile, not because they were heathen, that because they were turned over to heathenistic ways, because they loved the ways of darkness. They didn't love Yahweh. They wouldn't keep His commandments. They wouldn't pray. They wouldn't fast. They wouldn't keep His commandments. They wouldn't keep themselves pure and unspotted from the world. And so therefore, they loved the world. They loved the nations surrounded them. They loved the heathen nations of Goyim. And so therefore, Yahweh turned His sheep, who were not Goyim, into the nations of the Goyim to become lost and to wander until Yahweh sent, S-E-N-T, period, until Yahweh sent, not the devil, because the devil come to sow the tares. The devil come to compound the problem of misunderstanding. He come to confuse. He come to destroy the influence of the sin preachers, because that they preach the truth and it become a hard saying. And the people, including the sheep that are lost among the heathen Gentile nations or Goyim nations, are now professing themselves to be God's people, when in fact, in reality, they're not, because they're not chosen before the foundation of the world. They're not in the family line. They will not inherit. They are not His sheep, and they will not inherit, according to Yahweh's word. Now, I know that's a hard saying. I know that Yahweh is a hard saying. Who are these lost sheep? Now, we've got the lost sheep, and who did He send to seek the lost sheep? How does He get the sheep back? Are they going to hear His word? Is He going to simply lead them back? And how much effort did it take for those sent to recover the lost sheep back to the true flock? That's the question. Oh my, what a tremendous task that those who are sent and qualified by Yahweh to bring back the time that Yahweh said, I will send in the last days shepherds to recover my flock. Now, James chapter 1, verse 1, as I read, James, a servant of the Mighty One, the El, and of the Messiah, Yahweh, Yeshua, in a flesh body, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, not the 10 tribes, because finally, in 586 B.C., the other two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, who had miscegenated into the house, to become the house of Judah and the house of Israel, these are divided, and they all were scattered abroad. Now, I'm going to repeat that for you who believe that those people over there right now are Jews and who say they are Jews, but who do lie, and they are not. They are sons of Baal. They are sons of Satan. They are not sin, but they have the heritage or the blessing of those who are lost and ignorant and blind and dumb, because they make the claim that they are God's chosen people when the Messiah himself, I know them that say they're Jews and are not, but they are liars. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Satan has crept in unaware to really deceive the very elect. We've got people that will still hold them up. Even when you tell them the truth, when you preach to them the living word of Yahweh, which is a sharp sword, and all they stay hid when a preacher of Yahweh is challenging them to a debate. Or they'll get up and run off their mouth about certain names. When I come against all these false names and use the name exclusively of Yahweh, they lay low. But then they'll creep back in when they get a chance and try to pull you out of that name. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If once enlightened, it would have been better for you not to know the way and know it, not obey it, and continue in it. Remember Lot's wife. She turned back. She got out of the name of Yahweh. She met sudden destruction. Now, the Bible said if they did stiffen their neck and harden their heart, even after they'd been warned, even after they'd been told, shall be cut off and that without remedy, or shall be destroyed without mercy. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's long-suffering, not willing. If you really love him, if you're searching and you go wandering on these rabbit trails, that's fine. I've been on a few myself. But for Yahweh's sake, return to him. Just like Israel must return in the last days to his name, to his blood covenant, because we're bone of his bone, we're genetically a part of the family of Yahweh, and the Bible says in Philippians 3:15 that the whole family in heaven and earth is in the name of Yahweh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there'd be no other name. They'll come to you trying to give you one, but you know better. Eternal security. My sheep listen to my voice. Listen to that now. John 10:25-29. My sheep listen to my voice. They hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No man can snatch them out of my Father's hand. John 10:25-29. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. Now, it didn't say nobody can snatch them out of my hands. The Son had two hands. Well, we assume the Father had two hands. Well, it don't say that. It says singular hand. Just like it don't say Gentile, it says goy. You see, the proper translation, it means a whole lot here. Nobody can pluck them out of my hand, the Son said. That's the one that recovered the sheep, by the way. And no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. It takes two hands to make the Father and the Son. And when you read verse 30, he said, I, the Son, and my Father, the Father and the Son are one. That's exactly what he said. And then the unbelievers took up stones to stone him because he said that he was Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so wonderful. The truth is so wonderful. Notice in 1 Peter 2:25, for you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, 1 Peter 2:25, you were like sheep gone astray. Now, you may be out there tonight listening to me. You may be a Baptist, you may be a Methodist, you may be a Church of God, you may be some kind of a high-flying, high-swinging Pentecostal preacher like I was, preaching to thousands of people, in auditoriums, thousands were literally slayed under my hand. Rejoiced at my music and praise. I had zeal. I had courage. I had wisdom. And yet I lack one thing. To the lost sheep of the house of Israel, my sheep will hear my voice. When I heard the word, when I got the revelation of his name, when I got the revelation of his true Sabbath day, oh my. We got these preachers that run around and say that the lunar Sabbath is false. Ladies and gentlemen, that indicts me. I preach the lunar Sabbath. You ain't going to get away with it because I'm going to call you publicly. And if you got any man, if you got any manhood, if you got any knighthood, if you've got anything in the line of being a true prophet, you step up to the plate and confirm the word with the signs following. But if you are a harlot, you will flee when the truth comes. Because they who are of darkness hate the light. Now, ladies and gentlemen, ain't but one pen to hold the sheep. Because you know why? Because goats and sheep, although they do stay in the pen, and the sheep tend to want to follow the goats, there's going to be a goat and sheep separation of Matthew 25, 31, 32, 33. You understand what I'm talking about. You understand that when I preach about that the new millennial kingdom, when we inherit the earth, we're going to win. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a new earth, not the old one. Not where the Satan has walked, not where the dog that has returned to its vomit, and the sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud that is repeated in 2 Peter chapter 2, 22. But those who know, those who understand, those who will press toward the mark, those that will keep the faith, those that will preach the gospel, those that are sent, that will command, and the Spirit will give them power to preach the gospel, and the gospel will stop every mouth. If the Sabbath they own ain't by a lunar calendar of 8, 15, 22, and 29, you better come on. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist and you're hiding behind your coattail or some silly woman's coattail or some false woman prophet that existed years ago, then you need to come out and face the true prophets of the last day. I know of two prophets that offer $10,000 for anyone to prove that there is a Sabbath day to be worshipped in the Bible other than eight. And some of them said, well, it ain't even the eighth day. You see, ladies and gentlemen, they don't understand that Yahweh gave us a monthly calendar to mark its beginning with a new moon. To blow the trumpet in Zion, saying, this is the first day of the month. It is a holy day. It is a day of blowing the trumpet. It is a non-work day concerning servile wages. Now, we know in the book of Exodus 41, they reared up the tabernacle, so you can do a little work on a new moon because it's not a Sabbath. You understand what I'm talking about here? I can read that. And they worked a whole year through all of the new moons because it was a charity. Israel donated their charity work to Yahweh when they came in and helped the mission of the elders or the pastors or the teachers or the singers. They contributed. They brought their muscle. They brought their manpower to work, to bear, to rear up the tabernacle on the first day of the month, according to Exodus chapter 40, verse 1. Now, you got to work 6 days to keep a Sabbath. These mealy-mouthed, hump-backed lion dogs who bark when they ain't nobody around. I mean, when nobody can call them on their radio show, you know, they can bark. But they don't know back, because when a prophet of Yahweh, who is sent to command the scriptures with the sword, to bring the blood against all these false prophets. He said, my sheep will hear my voice. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to appreciate somebody's got a bonus and backbone that'll tell you the truth. In spite of all these lying prophets and the prophet that they get out of lying to you, you know what they get? They get the world. But you know what they get in the end? If you would like to find out where they're going, I would suggest that you read Isaiah 66, verse 24. I would suggest you read the 23rd verse, and if you want to go to the new kingdom, if you want to get into heaven, in other words, if you want to be there on the new earth, you better get used to the idea you're going to keep a new moon, and you're going to keep Yahweh's scheduled Sabbaths. Because it's mandatory in the new kingdom. If you don't want to do that, go to hell. If you don't want to do that, you're going to be ashes under the feet of them that walk in his laws and keep his commandments, and those who are sent, and those who will hear. But as it is written in 2 Peter 2:22, like these nominal preachers who say, Pastor Buddy, and let me see now, those who are not my people, they turn from the commandment. They are like those that wander and are perverted and get lost and get cold and get indifferent and they're separated. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that those dogs who return back to their vomit, and a sow that was washed goes back to a wall. You know, I've baptized a lot of people in Yahweh's name. Some of them have gone back to walling in the mire. And I see them as dirty pigs. Well, actually, I see them as sheep that want to be pigs, that lay on the wall of the mire of the ignorance and the seem right way. Ladies and gentlemen, come out from among those. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my brothers, you that have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, have you continued to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to get into the value of knowing that there's something laid up for you. You see the people that come against you, that want to wreck you and want to shipwreck you, that want to tell you that you're wrong. When you are pressing toward the mark, remember Lot. When he got out, he didn't look back. Remember the two daughters, they didn't look back. Remember Lot's wife, she looked back because she liked to wallow in the mire of Gomorrah. Something that she lost. Something that she was leaving that she lusted for. And she looked back. And she was turned into a pillow of worthless salt. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that the word in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, Yahweh said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. He didn't say, I'll make you a nation of Goyim. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what everybody says, well, see, there's where the Gentiles is. And yet they call Abraham a Jew. Did you know they call Isaac a Jew? Did you know that they called Jacob a Jew and neither one of them was a Jew? But then they called everybody else that wasn't Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his offspring, who they say were Jews and are not. They are not. They never was. They never was a Jew. And yet we got these lying prophets that come and bark when you ain't around, when they ain't a true shepherd around. You see, the Bible said that the hirelings, these that are hired to preach the scene that way, you see, they'll flee when there's a preacher come on the scene, when there's a anointed pastor. But you know why? Because you know what Sapphira and Ananias got when they lied to the Holy Ghost? And Peter recognized it. They got death. I've seen these preachers come against this truth and die over it. You say, oh, Pastor Bill, you're trying to scare us now. Well, we just planned on coming on and debating you. You debate me. And Yahweh give you grace to live 1,000 years after you debate me. But I guarantee you one thing. If you lie, you're going to have your part in a lake of fire if you live to be another 1,000 years old. And if you ain't very careful, if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you could cut your day short. Because let me assure you one thing. Yahweh hates a liar. There's one of the seven things that Yahweh hates, and one of them is a lying tongue, which is for a moment. And a preacher that knows the truth can catch a liar, because it's a checkmate deal, ladies and gentlemen. It's forever settled that Yahweh knows those that are his. Now, in Genesis 12 and 2, Yahweh said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. In Hebrew, Yahweh said, I will make of thee a great goy. It would have been too silly to translate that I will make a Gentile of you. He didn't say that, did he? So they correctly translated it nation. See that? Now, if they'd have followed suit like they always do when it's convenient for them to deceive you, see, they put it in there right. I will make of thee a great nation, singular. Abraham's children, now notice he had other wives, and we're going to bring in those other children to prove a point to you, but out of that one nation, he only chose Isaac. Isaac was not a Goyim. Isaac was not many. Isaac was one, and the Bible said that Isaac got everything that Abraham had give to him by Abraham. So they correctly translated it nation. Again, in Genesis 25:23, Rebekah was pregnant with twins, Esau and Jacob. And while still in her womb, the unborn children were struggling against each other, so she wondered what was wrong, and she asked Yahweh, what's the problem here? And Yahweh said to her, Two goyim are in your womb. But certainly, Yahweh was telling her, you are an adulteress pregnant with two Gentile children when your husband is not a Gentile. Yahweh said, two nations are in your womb. And that is the way it was translated. But it is the same word, goyim, which elsewhere they generally translate as Gentiles. You see what I'm getting at here? Ladies and gentlemen, they were two different nations, according to Yahweh, in the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, that Yahweh reveals to Rebekah that there are two different nations are in thy womb. That's what he says. He used the word plural. Nations. Two nations are in your womb. That's the way it was translated. But it's the same word, goyim, which elsewhere they generally translate as Gentiles. Why didn't they follow suit here? You see, they did it when it was appropriate for them, and they do it when it's appropriate for them in the other scriptures to deceive you and use this word in a deceptive way to deceive the very elect, if it's possible, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, that word tribes is plural, but it's only one nation of Jacob's people. Jacob was the father of 12 tribes. To the 12 tribes were over in Israel? No. To the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, here the word Gentile is always nearly the Greek word ethnos. Now, I want you to get this real quick, because I'm running out of time, and I've got to get off from here, and my time is already come and gone. Yahweh bless. I've got to give you my mailing address, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. And we love you tonight, and I got to get out of here. I'll see you on down the road, ladies and gentlemen, when Yahweh will bless you next Wednesday night on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. Sorry about running over in that time. Yahweh bless you is my prayer. Yahweh is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. And you know that they're always safe, ladies and gentlemen. So, Yahweh bless you. I'll see you Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. WWRB 3.185 around the world on the transmitting Journal of the South. Yahweh bless.